Hi everyone, it's me, the Renegade Master. I'm back, Gareth Beavis, here talking to you on the Noise Cancelling Podcast, and I am very tired. Hi everybody, I'm back. Who's here with me?
Sheree L. Smith, Editor-in-Chief, Laptop Mag.
Olivia Tambini, Audio and Music Editor at Tech Radar.
And Adam Fajestica, Senior Staff Writer at Tech Radar.
And how tall are we all?
Not as tall as tall lady.
Wait, the film, Tall Lady.
My height is determined by my peers, apparently, and not by me.
What?
There is so fun fact of the pandemic. Adam joined us just before everything went into a bit of a weirdness. So most of the team has never met Adam, even though he's arguably one of our best friends, of course. And the revelation yesterday came that he said that he was 6'2", and it was met with cries of shenanigans.
Just outrage, wasn't it, really? Just I've never seen such a strong reaction to any subject at Tech Radar.
And it made me realise that, you know, the Zoom has given people perceptions of height that are often completely irrelevant to real life. Like, you know, we're discussing people that, you know, that work in different offices that we've never seen before, you know, with them, obviously. And just sort of like, oh, you're tall, aren't you? No, I'm this tall. It's like, oh, what? It's crazy. So, you know, that's another thing for Zoom. Incorrect height verbalizations. Hi, Sheree. How are you?
I'm good. So how tall did y'all think he was?
They all think I'm smaller than 6'2". They think I'm 6. Gareth's convinced I'm smaller than 6'2". So is John. Quite a lot of people. But last time I was told and was measured, I was around 6'2". I might have shrunk because I've been sat down so long during this pandemic. I never leave this chair. So there's that.
Well, you're still nearly a foot taller than me. So you've got that.
That makes me happy.
Yeah, but you're mighty, Liv.
That's true. I am.
How's your week been, Sheree? Sorry I wasn't here last year. I missed you all so very much.
I missed you too. It was good. We survived. We put up 6 gaming laptop reviews at the same time for that NVIDIA embargo, which if you haven't read, please go over to Laptop Mag and treat yourself.
Would you say it's a treat to have to read 6 laptop reviews consecutively?
Well, I wrote 3 of them, so yes, it would.
So just do 3 then, basically.
I mean, all would be nice, but if you have to choose.
Any of them any good?
The Asus ROG Flow X13 is... Asus is just doing innovative things yet again. You know, they like... When come CES time, they like bringing out the most outlandish things that they can do. And this time they brought out a 13-inch convertible gaming laptop with the smallest eGPU I have ever seen in my life.
Well, that's interesting, but is it as interesting as the fact that Spinach can now send email?
No.
So engineers at MIT have managed to find a way for Spinach to genuinely send email where they can... It's not just a case of, like, just seeing if they can get Spinach to do it. It's actually even more interesting than that they can allow Spinach to work out if there are explosive materials in the ground that it's growing in. And then the leaves will change, I think infrared-wise, it will change somehow that, you know, they're using... I'll read it out. When the spinach roots detect the presence of nitro aromatics in groundwater, a compound often found in explosives like landmines, the carbon nanotubes within the plant's leaves emit a signal. The signal is then read by an infrared camera and sends an alert to the scientists. And I'm like, pretty cool.
That is amazing.
So I'm assuming that it can go and look for, you know, just go and plant a load of spinach in land that you think may still have landmines within it. Off you go. And they'll be like, yep, found some.
I wouldn't want to plant those, to be honest, if there was previously landmines there.
I assume you can sort of like...
That's a job for an intern, maybe.
Yeah. Just like fly out. You know, you can just like fly over and just sort of scatter and water or something. I don't know. I'm assuming spinach is good. I'm not a spinach scientist. But that leads us on to our big question, which I think may have come from one of my fever dreams last week. What's your dream email from a vegetable? Liv, let's start with you.
Well, as a vegetarian, I'm quite worried about the prospect of vegetables being able to talk to me because, like, what if they feel pain? Then that's like a big moral dilemma. But I would say courgettes or zucchinis if you're in the US. Because I always try to grow them and they never grow. So I just want to know what's up.
Okay, cool. Yeah, I mean, checks out. I mean, do you have any theories right now?
Well, my dog does like tend to eat them, like, and kind of destroy the plants, so that might be it. But
it might
you know,
be,
like,
it might be.
Last summer, like, I gave him everything. I gave him sun, good compost, loads of water, and they just died.
Didn't you end up accidentally buying like 400 of them or something?
I did, yeah, that also happened. Like, courgettes factor quite a lot in my life for some reason.
Okay, strong start. Adam?
I think I would like to receive emails from an onion, because onions are known for making you cry when you chop them up. So the emails I'd want to receive from an onion is just the most sad stories possible, and it's the onion's objective to try and make me cry with these really sad emails.
Okay.
Which I don't... You know, I'd fear opening them in case it did make me cry, but I think it would be good to get me in touch with my humanity again.
I feel like it would have to like spam you though, like under like false pretenses to try and get you to cry. It would he's trying to do it.
It would be weekly. It would be a weekly thing. Like, you know, every like Friday, digest. Here comes the will you cry onion email.
Newsletter. You basically subscribe up to a newsletter. Cool. Okay. Yeah. I like it. Cherie?
I have two answers.
I set your question. You couldn't wing it. You actually done some work. This is good.
Well, no, I just wung an answer too. So,
is the past participle of wung an answer?
It
works. I mean, I'm on board with it, but I wung an answer.
So the answer I thought of when you suggested this question yesterday was I would want it to be from a pumpkin since we make jack-o'-lanterns from them. And I would want them to say, I wanted to ask if how the Soylent was doing. Like, hey, the Soylent isn't too good. Send more people. And the second one would be from eggplants. And it would email me about the unrealistic expectations that we as human beings using it as emojis have placed upon it.
wait. So, I mean, I feel like the eggplant has no expectations, does it?
Like,
I don't want to get into it, but I don't think anyone's using the eggplant.
You do want to get into
literally.
It. Literally.
Absolutely
do want to get into it.
Like the unrealistic beauty expectations, because you don't want an eggplant that's got a blemish on it. You want it to look like how it looks in the emoji, and now it has all this pressure to stand up to, and I would enjoy that email.
Are we still talking about eggplants right now?
I mean,
it's basically toxic explanticity, really, isn't it?
But I would like a Soylent Green joke from one of my plants.
Okay, I like it. I was going to go with rhubarb, and it's sort of along the lines of what Adam and Liv said together. You know, because with rhubarb, you can get the stuff that gets put into dishes often. They grow it in the dark, and it sort of force grows it, so you can actually hear it growing, like creaking out, because it's like growing, it's forcing it to grow so fast for the light. That's how we do it. And I feel like there would be some sort of real existential painful, like a primal scream part of it that would just give some of the most beautiful poetry that comes out of that experience. You know, it might also sound like it's torture. I'd feel like I wish I'd never opened that door, but I feel like there's something just so raw and visceral in that would be absolutely beautiful. I'd like to read that in an email rather than having to find out what's happening with some stats or, you know, the latest thing that someone needs me to do at work. It'd be quite a nice change of pace.
Also, you could ask it, why are you like a fruit, but you're actually a vegetable?
Yeah, but I feel like I like the fact that rhubarb's the only sort of alternative there, because you've got like cucumbers and tomatoes and stuff are all like, yeah, we're fruits. No, we're vegetables. Like, no, you're fruits, aren't you, secretly? Mm-hmm. Yeah, but we want to be vegetables. Rhubarb's the only other way rounder. Like, yeah, I'm secret. And I'm
that,
poisonous.
That makes me want a pie so bad. I love rhubarb pie.
Yeah.
I really do. Strawberry rhubarb is the best.
Who's gonna get the points? I want to give it to Liv because I think it was so fun watching her try and ask us what to do with, I think, 30 courgettes last year. So I feel like Adam's Weekly Onion Digest deserves it. So there you go. That's the points this week.
Yes.
There you go. I love it. And also, you know, it instantly goes into plagiarism with the actual Onion Network. So many thoughts here. So, you know, what fun there. You know, legal minefield from a vegetable. Right. Next up, it's the Gadget Hall of Fame. Before we even get into this week's real news, although spinach being able to email is real news, Olivia Tambini, you are up for the Gadget Hall of Fame. This can either be your first gadget, a gadget that holds huge significance in your life, but you have to convince us that it's worth entry into this illustrious, hallowed Hall of Fame. What you got for us?
Okay, so I want to submit the...
Courgette.
No. The 2008 MacBook. It was my first laptop, and I got it when I was about 16. I got a secondhand version that my mum and dad bought for me, and it basically just gave me freedom that I didn't have before, because obviously, you know, I was before that I was having to, you know, use my dad's laptop or, you know, use it at the school. So, you know, I could do all these things now. The only problem with it is that when you opened it, it smelled really strongly of body odor.
Oh, no.
What?
Yeah, I don't know why. I don't know what happened to it, but I don't know. Whoever sold it was obviously like rubbing it on their armpits or something.
Oh, where did they buy it from?
Oh, no.
eBay.
Oh, no.
I mean, that in itself is a real flex as a parent. Like, eBay in 2008 was a proper Wild West.
Yeah.
It was very much like you're either going to get something genuine from somebody who's like, well, this smells weird, I'm going to get rid of it.
Yeah.
Or how rancid must your body be to imbue your funky essence into aluminum?
I know. God. It was absolutely insane.
Do you miss that smell?
No, but the thing is, right, nostalgic. I can still smell it. And it's been like 10 years.
Every laptop since, and you don't know why.
Maybe it's me. But as bad as this laptop was, and it was bad because it barely ran. It was so slow, hardly worked. But it then led me on a path of MacBooks. And for my 18th birthday, my mum and dad very kindly bought me one of the newer MacBooks, which they were still paying for like years later. And it meant I could go to uni. It meant I could do music production at home. And it just like opened up so much for me. So it's all thanks to that first stinky laptop.
So you said you got that when you were 16, and then 2 years later you got a new one.
Yeah. Well, it didn't work.
Were there ones in between?
No.
Okay, right, okay.
I had to use a stinky one. Path.
And crucially, the new one didn't stink.
It did not stink. It was brand new. So, yeah, all mine. And I still have it.
Oh, wow.
I mean, as the story goes, the stinky laptop will be confusing to people that come visit the Hall of Fame. But ultimately, it'll have, you know, they'll read the placard underneath and go, I understand now. It changed the life of one sweet girl. I don't know, like
non-smelly girl.
Yeah, I felt weird saying it, sorry. Let's move on to some news. The big one this week, and I don't know if this is tech news or not, is the, and I'm sure many people have heard about this, is Robinhood, GameStop, Reddit, all the things. So if you haven't heard the story, basically, oh god, it's so hard to explain, because it's about finance more than it is really about tech. But a bunch of people on Reddit, other forums, etc., were, I say, coerced or encouraged to invest in GameStop, because it's a long story, but there's a system called shorting where certain hedge funds will basically bet that a stock is going to go down in value, and therefore, or is it up? Which one is it, Cherie?
All right, so basically, because Gareth is just, I'm like, what is this? What is this?
I read all about this while I was in the middle of this fever dream anyway. So
basically, what's going on is that hedge funds, they like to, like most rich people, they like to feast on the tears of the poor and the weak and the vulnerable. So what you do when you short stocks is you're basically betting that the stock is going to tank. And as we know, but not as interesting as I'm saying it.
That is fair.
So we all know GameStop has been on its last legs for God knows how long, to the point where they now sell used electronics and the like. Please like us. They say, and we're like, no. But these wily Redditors, I love you, Reddit. You're the best. Despite all your rough edges, they were like, you know what? This part of pandemic bingo, we are going to eat the rich for real. Let's invest in GameStop, AMC, which is a movie theater franchise, and I forgot who, Nokia of all people. And they're like, yeah, let's invest all our money in there, because when you short stocks, you basically buy up all the stocks and try to short it out, and then you have to buy them back no matter what. So once, no matter the price, no matter what, you have to buy it back. So Reddit was like, all right, let's buy up all the stocks and push the stock price up, knowing that the hedge funders have to buy it back no matter what, no matter the price. So they basically bankrupted a bunch of hedge fund folks, and I couldn't have been more delighted. Little kids that, you know, their parents invested in GameStop stock. One kid made $3,000. Little 10-year-old kid just minding his own business. Now his stock is worth this money. He like had a little pocket change for him. And so, like, regular people had a field day. Of course, all the money market managers and the financial news was like, this is terrible. Like, terrible why? Because regular people started doing stocks the way that rich people do? I think the fuck not. So, you know, anarchy, eat the rich, buy that GameStop stock. Robinhood got involved in it because, like, it got so volatile. They were like, we need to stop this before the market collapses, or whatever they thought was going to happen. The market wasn't going to collapse, Robinhood. And so they suspended letting people buy GameStop, AMC, and Nokia.
So just to be clear, Robinhood is the app that a lot of people have been using because it's really simplified, you know, just buying and selling of stocks for so many people. It's basically a very simple app that allows you to do things for free. It puts how I manage to put the cost onto the sellers of the stocks themselves. Gives you like a little ticker tape parade once you've bought the stock, which is just feels a bit more gamifying of the whole thing. And a lot of, you know, the financial authorities were saying, like, it's not good to be able to make this so easy for people. People are just spending money willy-nilly. That's not good for all these people that spend willy-nilly,
which I say again, lies. Like, if we have whole movies dedicated to the Wolf of Wall Street. The Wolf of Wall Street is a real person. Like, he has a whole movie. Leo DiCaprio is playing him, and one of my comedian friends is one of the girls that are one of the strippers in the movie. Like, shout out to Tracy Jane. But so greed was good for the little man, and the big man did not appreciate it. And I think it's hilarious. But with Robin Hood trying to be the sheriff of Nottingham with that, no, you can't buy this stock right now. Now it is facing about 20 class action lawsuits. It's gotten, everybody dropped its rating to one star on Google. Google tried to come save the day, and regular folks were having none of it. So right now, the rating is tanked at one star. They're facing a whole bunch of class action suits. And, you know, 2021 is just off to a bang up start.
But I mean, the latest on that, of course, is that, you know, things have gone back south again somewhat. You know, it's down to, I think, $80 a share at the time of recording. So it's, and you know, there's lots of warnings about, like, okay, well, this momentum has really started to reverse now, because it's only going to be a temporary thing, because, you know, the whole thing required people to all band together. You know, Reddit was that place to bring a whole swathe of people and all tell them, you know, you've got to hold on. You can't just go and make $3,000 and get rid of it. You know, you have to keep going, and everyone has to keep joining. The bandwagon has to keep rolling, because if we all stop and get off, it goes back to normal again. And that's what's happening right now, where people are starting to lose their nerve. Understandably, because they're getting, you know, you can lose all this money as well very instantly. We're going to see a lot of people losing a lot of money because they just got off at the wrong time.
Indeed. But yeah, that's how the stock market rolls. And regular people learned a little bit about the stock market this week. And hopefully they will apply that knowledge to better investing. And who knows? I can't imagine that this is the only time we're going to see this year. So, you know, keep an eye out, like, on those weak performing stocks. Who knows, you might be able to make a quick buck real quick.
But then the same thing, it's important that people do realize what they're getting themselves into with this. Like, it's very easy and flashy to go, oh, good, look at all these people making all this money. It's really exciting. But, you know, it is your own money and you have to obviously make sure that you are, you know, the more measured guidance from people, not just, you know, the inverted commas evil people that are going like, oh, no, it's ruining all the markets, blah, blah, blah. But the people that are saying, look, this is serious. This is, you know, actual cash that's being used around right now. Don't just go in willy-nilly and make sure you're aware of not just how much you can stand to lose, but what the laws are when you're doing this. You know, you do have to actually make sure you're abiding by the right regulations and all this kind of fun stuff. So if you are going to get involved, do make sure you've done your research. That's Uncle Gareth trying to be careful there for you.
Aww. Uncle Gareth cares. Oh.
Exactly. Tell you what he doesn't care about / doesn't know about. God of War and the Control PS5 update. No idea what this is about on the running order, but I'm just going to jump to Adam anyway. Adam.
Yes. So God of War, which Gareth doesn't know much about, is one of the best, if not the best, PS4 games of the last generation, which is coming for a close. If you've bought a PS5, it's always been playable on PS5 via backwards compatibility, and you were able to hit the 60 FPS target, but the resolution would drop to 1080p in performance mode. Now, however, you can enjoy God of War as it was meant to be. Glorious 4K at 60 FPS. And I tried it out last night, and I have to admit, it looks absolutely phenomenal to the point where it's now instantly one of the best-looking PS5 games. And it's so nice.
So is this whole upgrade thing actually working?
In terms of...
Well, you know, when the PS5 came out and people were talking about, like, oh, you know, PS4 games, they'll be there, but it's a bit bland. And then suddenly, like... The upgrade kicks in, suddenly like, hang on a minute, this is orders of magnitude better.
So basically, the PS5 has exceeded, I think, a lot of people's expectations with backwards compatibility when compared to Microsoft. And you were getting the benefit that if a game in the past had targeted 60 FPS, most of them never hit that. They would flutter around 40 to 50, which is an awful experience. They were hitting that. But now Sony is going back to its fantastic exclusives, which everyone loves. God of War, for example, is on the PS Plus collection. If you have PS5 and PS Plus, you can download it for free as part of that subscription. Do it. And they're making their exclusives even better by going back and retroactively removing like 30 frames per second caps so they can hit 60 like they did with Ghost of Tsushima. And it's just great because if you've waited on those games like I did with Ghost, you can play them on PS5. It looks amazing. The games are already good anyway. We know that. And yeah. I'm playing more PS4 games than I am PS5 games, and that's the reality.
And did you have these already?
Yes. So I had them already.
Well done, you.
I had these already, but God of War I'd already finished, so I'm going back now for a new game plus, which is an incentive to play again with all your unlockables and stuff, but now it runs even better, it looks even better, and I get to play on PS5 rather than going back and replaying it on PS4 Pro at 30 FPS 4K. I can have 60, which is a big deal if you don't know the difference between the two. It's a big deal.
And Liv, you're still using a PS2, right?
No, I actually do have a GameCube, but I do have a PS4.
And are you playing anything other than Fall Guys?
Yeah, I'm playing Spelunky 2, actually, which is my favourite game in the world. Spelunky 1 was amazing, but Spelunky 2 is out of this world. I recommend it highly.
Also, and just if you really want to wind up James Peckham, who's of this podcast parish, just calling anything something 1 just drives him insane. You know, like, oh, you know, like Toy Story 2, it's not as good as Toy Story 1. It's, like, it's not called Toy Story 1, is it? It's just called Toy Story. But it really winds him up, so please tweet him.
I did not know that.
Yeah,
I will be using
James,
that a lot.
James RWP on Twitter. Just drop him a line and just hit him with some number ones. They're called retronyms. There you go. Liv, talking of social media. Ah, brilliant. TikTok. found a segue. Companies are buying up old discographies because of the old TikToks.
The what?
What? Yeah.
The old TikToks.
Okay. Yeah, the TikToks.
TikToks.
Yeah, so for anyone that doesn't use it, TikTok is a video-based social media app. You scroll through, people can make videos and upload them using TikTok's own bank of licensed music. So you'll find music from all the artists you love. And basically, as TikTok has taken off and certain videos have also been viewed millions and millions of times, that means tracks are being played millions and millions of times. So there was one example recently where a guy shot himself skateboarding along a highway, while drinking a bottle of raspberry juice and lip-syncing to the song Dreams by Fleetwood Mac. And that generated 2.8 billion views, and it was streamed 182 million times, and that actually helped to sell 86,000 Fleetwood Mac albums in the US. And that means record companies are taking notice and they're buying up the rights to these artists' back catalogues. So BMG, for example, has just acquired the drummer Mick Fleetwood's royalty interests on over 300 recordings. So that's a huge deal, lots of money involved, and it just shows that TikTok is having a big impact on music streaming, especially for these older artists and exposing them to younger fans. So yeah, interesting stuff.
Is TikTok responsible for all these sea shanties that are going around as well?
Yes, so, yes, they are.
right, okay. I get it now.
Explain further. I mean, why are there sea shanties? What?
They're everywhere.
Like, there are dudes just like, it'll start out with one dude singing a sea shanty. Lord Jesus, she sells by the sea. Yeah, that's not my day today. One dude will start singing sea shanties, and then other dudes joined in to harmonize to make this shanty that much more rich, and it is a delight to see.
Yeah, one guy from Edinburgh, I believe, was a postman, and he posted, I think one of his sea shanties was took off basically, and he got a record deal out of it, and now he's a musician, I guess, who just exclusively does sea shanties. I don't really see the decision behind that, I guess.
He's done well. 2021, it is just starting off wacky as it wants to.
I'm not super enjoying 2021, only because it made me sick. I don't like that. Made my eye go weird. It wasn't fun. Didn't like it.
Oh.
Not weird like as in like, you know, gunky, just weird as in like it was started to go wobbly, like the vision started to go weirdly and wobbly, and it was quite disconcerting.
Sounds awful.
That's low-key terrifying.
Yeah.
Anything to do with eyes is not good news.
And you realize quite quickly just like how important your vision, just not just being there but working properly, is. It's like it wasn't nice. Didn't like it, and I was annoyed at 2021 because I was like, hang on a minute, you're supposed to be brilliant. You know, but then I didn't listen to enough sea shanties, so maybe that's what I was missing out on.
It's good for the eyes.
It really is. Liv, before we go to Adam's news blast, tell us about AirPods Pro 2. We're surely ready for an upgrade from Adam. Adam? From Apple, right? I mean, Adam, unless you know anything, Rah! Adam, at this point.
I'm busy, yeah, so no upgrades from me. But maybe Apple.
Yeah, so we've been hearing a lot about potential next-gen AirPods Pro for the last year or so, and it seems like they're going to be released in the first half of this year based on rumors, and this is all based on rumors, so we don't actually know for sure even if they actually exist, but so far we've heard from people close to the subject that that's when they're going to be coming, and it's also rumored that they're going to have a new design, so they're going to potentially be getting rid of those protruding ear stems, which have been controversial to say the least.
So we'd be going for the old beans?
Possibly. We could have, I mean, I doubt it, because the Samsung Galaxy Buds Live weren't particularly good from what I heard. So yeah, we'll see.
But I mean, surely Apple's thing is the stems. You know, like they say they're unsightly, but you know, that's iconic now. You know, we're talking this morning about this whole market of fake AirPods, where people are actually lusting after not having to spend the money, but having a pair of AirPods a pair of headphones that look like AirPods, and therefore, you know, it's kind of become iconic.
They are iconic, but you could argue they're, you know, maybe not that suited for working out, for example. So I'm not sure if these even exist. Earbuds with stems, which also have like the ear fins to keep them securely in when you're working out. So it might be that Apple's going for a design like that, so people can use them for running. Maybe they just want to try something different. I mean, we saw a pretty unique design with the over-ear AirPods Max. So yeah, I think the world is ready for a different look for the AirPods now.
Then you've got the Powerbeats Pro, where, you know, they just hook around the old ear. They do that themselves. I don't know at what point those two things change over. It'd be interesting to see what actually happens. Shuri, did you ever use the AirPods Max?
No, they have not sent me any yet. Like, I'm going to have to ask the company to buy some for me, because I am not prepared to pay upwards of $600 for Apple Air headphones. I need to hear the proof before I fork out my own cash.
Yeah, and you should spend that money on some wheels for a Mac instead.
One and a half wheels.
Yeah, exactly. See, yeah. Liv, did you like the AirPods Max in the end after you used them for a while?
I did. I was surprised. I was fully ready to hate them, and they actually blew me away with how good they sounded. The noise cancellation as well, I thought, was really good. The trouble is, like with all Apple products, is that they're designed to work only with Apple mm-hmm. products. And so as someone who doesn't have an iPhone, what I could do with them was pretty limited. So yeah, that was a shame.
If you did have an iPhone or an iPad, and you know, when you might have a moment of absolute stupidity where you're in the Apple store and you just buy them even though you can't afford them, and you get home and you have just so much buyer's remorse, do you think that the quality of them would, most people would be like, actually, it's won me back round again, like, I'm glad I made that huge mistake and now can't eat?
I think so. Like, if you're mainly concerned with sound quality and noise cancellation and just like things working well, you know, like they're really easy to pair and connect and have all these cool features, then yeah, I think you'd be pretty happy with your purchase. But, you know, because they don't have an audio jack, and if you do want to listen with wired audio, you have to buy like an adapter.
Oh, that is crazy.
All this nonsense. So I think if you're like on the audiophile side of things, you want to plug them into an amp or something, you're probably going to be disappointed.
Yeah, that puts me right off.
If there'd been some kind of like Mac interface that you didn't, you know, it got round the whole amp thing, then, you know, there was a wire in it straight away that it catered for that side of the, you know, of that side of the musical audience who had all the equipment for Apple again, and it would keep them in this ecosystem even further, and that would have made sense. But having to buy extra stuff, nah, not interested. Anyway, those are old. That's boring now. Let's talk about what's new. Adam, you've got 60 seconds, as our listeners will often know. You've got 60 seconds to tell us about as many new stories as you possibly can. You cannot read out from a script, and you have to make sure we give us the full gist of said story, but you have to do it as quickly as possible. Do you understand your task?
Yes.
Do you actually?
I think so.
Good. Okay. Yeah. Just don't read out anything from a script and you'll be fine. The record is 13 for the highest joint held by me. The lowest is 1. That's held by me as well. So basically, I'm holding all the records here.
Do I have to do them in order that I see them here?
No. Have you also, these are the ones that are suggested to you by our producer. Right. Have you read them?
Yeah, I've had a glance.
Okay, no, you can do any order you want. You know, it's up to you. You have to just give the listeners stories. Also, you know, they don't even see behind the curtain. They don't know there's a running order. Right, I'm going to count you down. 3, 2, 1, and go.
Oh, this is a great start. I literally closed the window. I say Microsoft has annoyed people because if you have a Hotmail or an Outlook account, you've probably used up a lot of storage, and they're contacting people saying if you want more storage, you might have to pay extra for it. So that's not good news. Samsung Galaxy Z Flip 5G, the cool looking, clammy, old school phone from Samsung, is now super cheap. And it's actually as cheap as the Samsung S21, I believe. Liv had a dream about a weird baby that she had to look after. That's apparently in the news blast. iOS 14.5 is going to give people a really cool feature where you can use Face ID to log in, even if you're wearing a mask, which is really handy right about now. Thor: Love and Thunder is another great, unmissable Marvel film that's on the way. Take it from me. And the costumes of two of the characters have leaked online. And if you want to see people, grown men dressed up as colourful characters, you can go look at those. Nintendo was apparently making a Netflix show based on The Legend of Zelda. Okay.
So you got, well, I'm going to give you five because even though one of those stories was about Liv's dream.
Oh, was it actually? Okay, it's not that good then.
Hey, that's big news.
I wanted to get to that more, but...
It was in our production meeting yesterday and Liv was just telling us about a dream that she had about, what was it? You don't have to tell people if you don't want to.
No, it's fine. I'm open about how weird I am. I had a dream that I had a baby, but I had to share it with another couple. So we were arguing about like who gets to have the baby at weekends. And it was just like a big mess, really.
And as we were throwing ideas, this was when we were throwing ideas in for the news blast. And I wrote that down as like, okay, cool. Thanks, Liv. Thanks for your contribution. And then just got left in there. So
great. So glad.
But, you know, now I'm going to allow that for an assist for a news story. So there you are. You've got five. Well done.
Yay.
Right. Well, now we're going to try an all new feature on the podcast where we're gonna end it here, but not actually end it here, because the final section is going to be called What's Going On, where we discuss something, but it's going to be about WandaVision and the new TV show that's on Disney Plus, featuring characters from the Marvel Universe. But it's going to be spoiler heavy, so if you're not up to date with this, then I would advise you to leave now. So just in case you are going to leave now, Cherie, have you had fun? How do people get called up?
Hey, the answer is I always have fun. And if people want to get in touch with me, they can find me on Twitter or Instagram at MissSmith11, M-I-S-S Smith11. And of course, go to Laptop Mag for all your coverage of laptops, tablets, smartphones, and everything in between. And we're even doing a little bit of Bitcoin. We're doing a little bit of fine tech this time around. So laptop before, laptop now. Laptop forever!
Is it pronounced FinTech? That would make sense.
I don't know. I just went with it.
Yeah, I mean, that would make more sense because it's about financial tech, but I've always pronounced it FinTech, but I don't know. I thought the word idiot was spelled adoit, or pronounced adoit for a long, long time because that's how I read it.
Oh.
Adam, how do people get in contact with you?
You can find me on the old Twitter at It's Mr. Product, because that's capital I, capital M, capital P. And please go on Instagram and follow my dog. It's Lily the Sheep Pup. She has over 250 followers, which is a lot more than me because I don't really use Instagram, but she's adorable. Please go and check her out and make her the star. I need free dog stuff. She's bankrupt me.
What if people can use that to find out all about your life and like deal with your life?
Well, that's social media in general.
That's true. Yeah, good point. Yeah. And also, you know, if people want to read about what you say, how would they do that?
They can find me on Tech Radar, which is a fantastic website that I write for.
Okay, I thought it'd be more in depth than that because I think they've worked that bit out. All right, cool. Liv.
You can find me at Olivia Tambini on Instagram and Twitter.
Jazz it up. Come on, be more excited.
Oh, I don't know. I say stuff on Twitter occasionally and sometimes I post some photos on Instagram. Enjoy.
And some great videos.
And maybe a video if you're lucky, you know. See what happens.
You play the piano, you know, show some of your great artwork. Come on.
I didn't see that.
Sometimes, yes. But I'm not very good at the piano, so don't come for that content. You'll be very disappointed.
Come for the courgettes.
That's a
come
lie.
Come for the courgettes.
Stay for the piano.
And I'm Gareth Beavis, so you can find me tweeting irregularly at SuperBeav, both irregularly in terms of content and in terms of frequency. Tech Radar is where you get all your stuff, both on the website techradar.com and all the socials Tech Radar, including Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, etc., etc. Right, and if you are still listening and you've forgotten about that whole spoiler thing, we're going to talk about WandaVision now. So if you want to watch it and you haven't focused on it so far, bye. We really enjoyed having you, and if you do want to hear about it, let's go. What is it? I don't understand it. It's so confusing. Like, I've watched all four episodes, and again, watched while I wasn't very well, but I don't understand how any show can get away with having the first two episodes being rubbish on purpose.
They're not rubbish. Like,
so the idea being, so the first episode was a 1950s sitcom, the second episode was a 1960s sitcom, and the third episode was a 1970s sitcom, and which is obviously very confusing because it gave no context to anybody, but the first two were just... Those, you know, that kind of show is not enjoyable for most people.
No.
It had like a couple of tiny little drops of interesting, like, well, that's not quite normal. But for 30 minutes to go and sit down and watch that and go, hey, what's happening? What's happening now? With no, and then just finish, and do it twice. I think it's brave as hell. But
it's not brave. It's ridiculous, and it's kind of arrogant for me. To expect people to sit there and commit their time to something which is clearly bad. Like, we're all in on this great reveal that's going to happen. I'm sorry, like, I couldn't... Me and my partner watched it. We got to the end of the episode and we just looked at each other, really annoyed. We were annoyed that we'd wasted our evening. We were annoyed at Marvel again, which happens regularly in this household.
Is your evening only 27 minutes? Is that the problem?
That's part... When you have a young puppy who runs amok from... What, 3 a.m. till the end of time? Yes, 30 minutes to me is a lot. So, yeah. I agree. Like, I don't understand that concept at all. And like you say, it's bad. It's not even like it was good to watch. Like, if you want to watch 1960s sitcoms and you really enjoy them, then again, great. But no. Mm.
Cherie, counterpoint.
First of all, Adam, you are a thief of joy. let me just put that there. You are a thief of joy and wonderment. And I disagree with Thank both you. You and Gareth. I know that you're a Marvel hater, so you're not going to get it. And Gareth, stay out of things like this.
I'm on board with it now. I'm looking forward to episode 5 now. Episode 4 was brilliant and it drew it all back together again. It was amazing, but just I couldn't believe that it spent 2 episodes trying to actively turn people off.
Nope. It didn't turn me off because it's leading into that Marvel weirdness. Instead of trying to, hey, let's make this for the real world and let's keep this. No, let's lead into this. Like, this lady has reality warping powers. What does that mean? That means that we're going to get some Twin Peaks weirdness. And that's exactly what we got. And mixed in with a whole bunch of nostalgia. I loved the first episode because it was giving me all that Dick Van Dyke and all those things that I used to watch as a little girl or rerun. But there was also that uncomfortable Twilight Zone feeling, especially when dude started choking and Joyce is like, stop it. Stop it. Like, and it just get that creep factor just kept building up. And she's looking at Wanda like, stop it. Stop it. Like, and like, if you're if you know about House of M, you know that Wanda is doing this either subconsciously, consciously. That's what we're trying to figure out with WandaVision. Is Wanda doing all of this to these poor people trapped in this town with her? Is Vision dead? Probably. Most of the people are accounted for except for a few key people. Why? Who are they? That's definitely purposeful. So there's all this stuff going on, but the fact that this is what Wanda saw as her idyllic life. Like, she didn't have that. So she's just like, okay, what? Like, let's go to something comforting. What was comforting? Sitcoms. Old sitcoms.
But do you think then, for like a layman who has no idea who Wanda is and who Vision is, like myself, do you not think it's quite risky by that show to literally introduce you to nothing? Like, you just watch it and you're like, what am I watching? I don't get it.
Show's not for you. The show's not for you.
Because I subscribe to Disney Plus.
Maybe you should have watched Ultron and Avengers and all that stuff, and you'd be on board.
So I have to watch all that dross to enjoy WandaVision, is what you're telling me. That's a massive commitment.
Either that or be a comic book fan, because this is going off of the House of M, and this is how we will most likely get all of our mutants now that we can actually say the word in Disney, because Disney finally wised up and just was like, you know what? We're just going to buy everything. All the things, all of the things. Fox, Paramount, who knows? They might even be buying us someday. Who knows? But now we can actually say mutants instead of the Children of Miracles, which is what we were saying in Ultron.
So it is for fans of...
Yes, it's
you
not for
recommend
you.
It to people who don't know.
No, I'm a brand new fan, and I watched the Avengers films during lockdown for the first time, and...
I'm sorry to hear that.
I really, really enjoyed them, but the thing that put me off about superhero films in the first place is how formulaic they are and how, you know, it's like bang, bang, explosion, bang, same thing every time. But WandaVision is completely different, and that's why I like it so much, to the point where now that we're kind of seeing a bit more of the real world, I'm actually just a tiny bit disappointed because I loved the format of the first few episodes so much. I just thought it was so so effective and so creepy, but also, like Cherie says, nostalgic at the same time. I just thought it was something really different that I just hadn't seen before in this kind of, you know, like big budget TV series.
I think I said it was a brave or crazy move to go and do this. It just lacked that little bit of knowing that there's more to come. Like they could have done episodes 1 and 2 together in one episode, and at the end of it just alluded to one little thing, and that would be like, right, okay, cool, I'm going to keep watching. It just, I gave up to start with and then came back to it because I ran out of things to watch. So I don't know, it's just an interesting move to try and actively put some people off. The payoff was good.
We are a society that allowed Twin Peaks and Lost to exist.
We didn't allow Lost to exist. It just happened by itself. Like I saved Lost. I saved up Lost. I didn't find out what happened. I managed to survive it for so many years after. So I'm going to get to it. And I eventually did start watching. And then what a waste of that was. It was, oh, man. Like the first series was amazing. And after that, it just went. I expected the end of it to tied it all up nicely. And it was just rubbish. So I'm still annoyed about Lost. So don't bring that comparison.
But it like in the spirit
of smoke.
All right. Because I actually never watched Lost. I just didn't feel compelled. Yeah, if it hasn't happened by now, it's not going to happen. But it's I definitely agree with Olivia. It's telling the superhero tale in a different way. And for Wanda, her time as an Avenger has brought her nothing but grief. And it's really an examination of how people cope and how a superhero with reality bending powers would cope with all the loss that she's gone through. And we start seeing the wall starting to crack episode 3 when she has her babies that magically appeared. Another big House of M point. And she remembers, oh yeah, I'm a twin. My twin died. And then Geraldine's like, oh yeah, Ultron killed him. And she's like, what did you say?
It
went all creepy yeah. on her. So it's going to be very interesting to see now that the cracks are starting to show, and like she needs some superhero therapy. I don't know if she I don't know if she's going to get it. I don't think she will.
Okay, so we've got episode 5 this week, and it's going to be episode 9. Adam, I want you to watch the whole series and then come back on the podcast when it's finished. Now, come on.
Can I do it during work hours? Then I'll definitely watch it. Because that's going to feel like hard work to me. Like,
no. Just get through the first 3. Come on.
It's 27 minutes of your life.
That's a long time, Liv. Live every moment. Live every second.
Live every moment doing what? Where are you going? You're in a bed.
What are you doing? There's nothing to do.
There's loads of things to do. Play PS5 or play Xbox Series X.
You're the biggest Marvel denier, but I do believe this. Like, Cherie makes lots of really interesting points about the fact that this is a bit more brave, a bit more out there.
What I would need, I think, before I sat down and gave it another go is I would need like a little summary of who the characters are and what's involved, because even Cherie talking about it, like, Cherie makes it interesting, but I don't know what an Ultron is. I don't know what the House of M is.
I don't know what House of M is either.
So House of M is this story, the storyline that happened that where Wanda, after losing her children, who magically manifested with Vision, because Vision is in all intents and purposes a robot, and like, again, it's all good with sex box until one chokes a senator. But so human.
What?
This isn't making it any clearer.
No,
I'm just saying.
All right. So basically, House of M happens after Wanda, who was in a relationship with Vision, who is a robot for all, like, robots and flesh people don't make children, but some kind of way they did. And it turns out that that actually isn't what happened. What happened was that Wanda, with those reality warping powers, wanted kids and a family with Vision so bad that she manifested those kids. She manifested twins. And it turns out that their energy was some of the soul of Marvel's resident devil, Mephisto. So that's why people are really interested. Like, hold on to that. Put a pin in that.
Right, okay.
All right.
I'm getting a headache.
yeah. So hold on to that.
I,
So
I will try and give it a go when I have literally nothing else to do.
Which is like after you get off this podcast, it's, then it's, just finish working.
Because WandaVision is feeding into Doctor Strange in the Murderverse. And so that when I hear a title like that, that means, oh, we're going to see some of the mystical side of Marvel, which means we are probably going to see Mephisto, Marvel's version of Satan. And so basically House of M happened because Mephisto was like, can I have those pieces of my soul back? Actually, I'm not asking. I'm taking. Drove Wanda crazy. And she just was tired of all the bull. She had been through a whole bunch of trauma dealing with the X-Men and all of their travails, and she can't even have her kids. She can't even have her husband. And she's like, you know what? No more mutants. And those reality bending powers mixed with that grief just depowered all of mutant kind. There were only a few left. So the money is on that this time around, some kind of way, she is going to bring mutant kind into existence. In a reverse of House of M, but this is a House of M storyline, which a lot of comic book fans are excited about.
I'm saying, like, under that theory, the Nintendo theory, that would mean that they would become Wootants, as in Mario versus Wario. So, you know, if you're gonna flip it around, it's the House of W. They become Wootants. That's how it has to work. How can Wario exist without Mario? So, flip. We have gone well over time now, though. So thank you very much for sticking around for our spoiler field. I mean, I don't know why I'm saying spoiler field now. If you're still listening, you have been spoiled all over WandaVision. I'm not going to go through everyone again because hopefully you remembered all the different taglines, all the different social media handles. But thank you very much for listening to this episode 50. And in 2 weeks' time, it's going to be our 1 year anniversary of the No Canceling Pod.
Wow.
So thank you very much, everybody. Liv, any final thoughts?
If you're gonna have babies, don't share them, and then don't manifest them with a robot because they might do bad things or disappear.
Okay, that's it, everybody. We'll speak to you next week. Bye.
Bye.
Bye. Bye.